Hello and welcome to So No Kids,
the podcast designed by women without kids for women without kids.
This is a place for an open and honest discussion about how it feels to live life as a child-free woman. Today in the studio, we were joined by Claire and we had an excellent chat about being selfish, enjoying child-free marriage, and what happens when your ambition becomes to just have a lovely time. Welcome, Claire, to the So No Kids podcast.
Hi, Jo. Hi, Lou.
Hi, Claire.
Hi.
Lovely to have you here. Now, we've got that straight. So we always begin with the same question. And that question is, how did you come to be a woman without kids?
I didn't really want them. I mean, there was a point in time where I did want them, but I think I just wanted to be loved. And then I found my partner and we never really got round to it. And there was a point in time that lots of my friends were having kids and I thought maybe this is our time. And then, yeah, we just never got round to it. And then we kind of had a conversation because it was other people's pressure on us to be like, when are you having kids? And I just thought I might just make a decision now and say, we're not having kids. And then as soon as I said that, my nan was upset. But everybody else was a bit like, all right. And then, oh my God, the relief of saying that out loud. I don't think we're going to have kids. Don't really want kids. And so that's it.
Did the question stop?
Yeah. I mean, I'm quite ballsy. So it was like, I don't want to. Do you want to talk to me about that?
Let's talk about something else. Here's what else I'm doing.
Yeah. Is it that deep?
Yeah.
I think that's a you problem.
What can I ask about your nan and her response?
My nan and me were like super close, and nan had like knitted and crocheted like 1,000 baby blankets and little camisoles and little, and is it called a camisole? I don't know, I don't have kids. Mm-hmm. Small children's clothes. And I think you get a lot of, oh, you'd be such a good mum. And it's like, well, I don't know. Maybe. Quite good at most things, so probably. Mm. But that doesn't mean I should do it. I might be good at climbing a mountain. I don't want to do that either. Like,
yeah.
I might be a good soldier. Not really a fan of war. Like,
I know.
Who knows?
It is weird, isn't it? When people are like, oh, you'd be an amazing mother. I'm just like, yeah, of course I would. A fantastic job.
Besides the point.
I don't want to be a mother.
So Nan was a bit upset, but then again, I was just like, I'll have more time for you.
Yeah.
And that was real. Like, I did have a lot of time for Nan. I have a lot of time for my people because I haven't made any of my own.
Do you like being around kids?
We were talking about this at the weekend. Last weekend, we went to see two old friends and they have two small children. Somebody said, how old? And I was like, can talk, can ride a bike. I don't know. I think they're 7 and 9. Let's say 6 and 9 or something.
Yeah.
And I said to them at dinner, I said, well, me and Sam, my partner, we don't really like children. And the children's faces were like, what? These grown-ups don't like children. And they said it out loud. And then Sam said, well, that's not really true. He was like, we like children like we like adults, like we like some of them. And I think that's, why do we have to say we all like kids? I don't like all adults.
Yes, it's very true. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got a personality, no matter what age you are.
Yeah.
You don't have to like children as a
concept.
Yeah, cohort of humans.
Yeah, some of them are awful. Mm. So it's like, oh, so you like kids? It's like, oh, well, some of them, yeah.
Yeah.
The ones I'm affiliated to, I really like. My nephews, they're all great. Strange kids, no. Kid on the train showing off, no. Don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday in W.H. Smith, a kid showing off because he really wants like a pack of pens and his mum's like, all you do is ask for things. I didn't like that kid.
Not a fan.
No. But also, if there was an adult in a shop going, but I really want a pack of pens and someone's going, we don't have money for pens, that would be unacceptable behaviour.
Yeah. I like most of our friends' children and I'm like, these kids are great. But I've been to a, you know, some of their birthday parties. And the horrible brats that you get, just like, whose children are these?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Those children will remain anonymous, who they are.
I think that's one thing. When you choose like to have a life that is child-free,
doing things like socialising and having a barbecue, I want my friends there. Does that mean they all have to bring their children? Is my house kind of child friendly? Do I really want 9 kids at the barbecue? But I do just want to see my friends. Sometimes I find that quite difficult to navigate because for me, it's not a given that everything is plus the kids. But actually, I think for them, a barbecue means me and the kids kind of come en masse. And that's something I'm currently trying to angle, trying to figure out the best way of action.
Yeah, it's tricky. I hear that. I think that I don't necessarily worry about my house being child friendly. It isn't. And then if I ask my friends to come to a barbecue, sometimes I do a lot of leave your children away, have some fun child free adult time. I'm really specific about that.
Mm.
But then also, if it is bring kids, then look after your kids. They're yours. They're not my responsibility. You are an adult.
Yeah,
I'm an adult.
Mm.
These are children. Like, I would hide. I don't have any knives out, but I'd put my sword selection away.
Or leave it out, depending on which kid it is.
Yeah.
This morning I was looking before we were coming to do the podcast. I put into ChatGPT, GTP. I can never get it right. Everyone GPT. Takes the piss out of me because I still don't know which one it is.
Top nannerin.
And I put in child-free women stereotypes because I was quite interested to see what came up with regards to the conversations that we'd be having today. It was selfish, full of regret, career-orientated, hate kids, immature, damaged, lonely, lacking emotional depth, too feminist, unlucky in love, or also too masculine.
Selfish is really interesting, isn't it? Because I'm a counsellor / psychotherapist, so selfish, yeah. I embrace that. Look after myself. Make sure I can put on my own gas mask. Go out and do the work. Look after the people who need looking after outside of new people that I've brought into the world. Because I'm fully charged. Isn't that funny, isn't it? It is funny how we feel about...
Being selfish. That is a bad thing. Maybe there's just a bit of a jealousy at the idea of people who've chosen to be...
I think if we're going to go down and, you know, two feminists being on there kind of hints at it, this sense of women have certain things that they have to do in life. To some extent, humans, we have to do something to uphold a capitalist society. And that is, we all have to partner off and then we all have to breed the next generation of people who pay tax. So the selfish thing, I think, because you'll often get, well, what if everyone thought like you? What if everyone thought like you and nobody had children anymore? And then that would be the end of society. And it's like, well, if everyone thought like me, we would maybe share wealth more and we would make it more of a benefit to have children. So why does it have to be if everyone thought like me, we'd all be selfish and then the whole of the human race would die out? I think there would be a step before that where we would actually address, why don't women want to have children anymore?
Do you think if things were in place, like wealth was shared and childcare was affordable and things could be more accessible to parents, do you think you would want to have children?
That's a really interesting question. I mean, I bought data with me. Friend, Data.
Hi, Data.
Hi, Data. Hi.
Thanks for coming. So I do a workshop. I do like I don't know what you'd call it, a motivational workshop about, it actually looks at our driver behaviour, our kind of psychological driver behaviour. And it's called Why Am I Doing Everything? And it's aimed predominantly at professional working women. And I use the work of Claudia Goldin, who won the Nobel Prize in Economics a couple of years ago. And she says that access to childcare is access to work for women. So she does it to look at the gender pay gap, and she charts it from the kind of turn of the 19th century through to present day. And says when there was cottage industries and agriculture, and women could strap a baby to them, or the kids would be out picking peas in a field with you, there was more women in the workforce. As work moved into factories, women left the workforce because they didn't have access to it. Somebody had to look after the children. And then that goes real down low until the turn of the century, until the Second World War, when women went into the factories. Then after that, women kind of maintained a space in the workplace, which escalated through the pill and women being able to have choices. up until now, where we're at the peak, we're at the same level as we was back in the kind of the turn of the 19th century because of COVID and flexi working. We have more women access to the workspace. But that men's access to the workspace has, there is no correlation to childcare.
No.
So for me, I grew up really like being told you can do whatever you want to do. You can be whoever you want to be. And I worked really hard from a working class background. Worked really, really hard. First person in my family to go to university. Really proud of myself. And then to think, oh, well, I can see with my eyeballs that if I have a kid, I'm going to have to take a year out of my career. Will I get back? Will I be at the same level? Will I ever earn the same? Also, there's loads of data about childcare, care in general, care of vulnerable adults also within families that predominantly sits upon women. I think if I knew that was all going to be fairer, and look, my husband is a good husband, like we are a fair household, would that have made a difference if I thought, you know, also the other stuff, what name are you going to give it? I kept my name. What name do you give your baby? Like, it has to be the dad's name? Like, what's that nonsense? Mm.
Yeah.
It's all just so, motherhood to me is really political as well as, and it felt like I'd give up so much. It felt like I'd have to sacrifice so much. Not just career, identity, but like my time. What yeah. I want to do. I am really selfish. I like to do what I want to do. You can't do that with a baby.
No. And it's giving up, not necessarily for a child's whole life, but it can be giving up such a big part of your identity. So if your identity is through your work and you have to spend less time working, or your identity is a big part of your hobby, or is it a big part of your birth family, or, you know, if you're pulled away from something that you've always kind of held as sort of a real core part of you because of being a parent, incredibly difficult.
Mm. And isolating.
Isolating, yeah. If one of your big things is your career, not saying it is, but saying it is, for example, then what would that have meant for you being a parent?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've always been career orientated. I'm in a different place now since I made the decision. I'm in a different career. I did work in comms. I was PR in TV for 20 years. I don't think I could have done it. There are mums who do that job. Lots of my colleagues and peers are mums. I've known them when they weren't mums. I've known them as mums. But that's such a hard job when, you know, you're on call all of the time when you're doing comms in TV, because the papers could ring at any point and ask for a line on something. But also you're doing red carpets, you're out at events, and it's that split. It's that the mum guilt of that. You know, you're never fully happy in one place. Are you doing enough for your job? Are you doing enough for your kids? I don't think that you ever feel fully resolved in one or the other. And everyone has an opinion on what you're doing right. Seth Rogen says it doesn't look that much fun. Working full-time, regardless of gender, is hard. Getting up and working 9 days a week, we say 9 to 5, but most people work way more, including commuting time, way more. That's really hard. What, and then you're going to have children amongst that?
I know for me personally, my mental headspace is much happier taking that out of the equation, working to live, but also not throwing in the added complication of having children. And I don't know, I guess if everyone did that, maybe there wouldn't be that as many people, like, but maybe that's not such a bad thing either.
But if those same people were like as worried about the end of civilization because there's not enough children, were with, let's stop using fossil fuels, let's like stop using plastic, let's start growing our own food, let's stop eating at McDonald's, let's stop overprocess. Like, you can't just pick and choose that argument in my position. If you're worried about the longevity of humanity, let's have that conversation.
Mm. Yeah. Like, yeah, yeah, absolutely. And also, to the point around working full time being all consuming, I then have worked with parents who then come to work and go, oh, I come to work for a rest. And you're like, okay. So this was the thing that was like consuming all of your life, and then this child came along, and now you think that this all-consuming thing over here is the restful experience. Mm. You know, I just... It's...
That absolutely makes sense to me, though, because one thing you know and you get praise for and you get paid for it and you feel really good and you feel competent, and you get all your strokes, all your psychological acknowledgement. And then the other thing, there are ungrateful little screaming balls of rage and you haven't got a clue half the time. And you're trying to like run around just keeping things alive. And in that place where you feel like you don't really know what you're doing half the time, it is life and death. And this other place where you know exactly what you're doing, unless you work in A&E or somewhere, shout out to our 999 services, It isn't life or death. So yeah, that's a rest. Absolutely. That psychologically makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And to add, when I'm talking about how hard that would be, I'm talking about for me. I see women show up all the time and do it. My sister is an amazing, amazing working mum, partner at a legal firm, was the first partner at her legal firm to get pregnant. So she had to write the mat leave policy for looks like for a partner. Like amazing, amazing driven woman. My nephews are amazing. She has a really super supportive husband. They've got proper team ethos in raising their children. It's brilliant. I absolutely applaud and uphold working mothers. I think that's brilliant. Part of me not having kids is I have the capacity to leave the workforce, to retrain as a psychotherapist, to come back, to do data, to do research, to go back into workplaces, to campaign for better paternity leave. So then we can get some more men out there on the ground. Like with the capacity I have, I try and do my best to make this a fairer society in order to raise our kids.
Some people say that when they are a woman without kids, that people kind of put their sadness on them.
No, I will not accept feelings that aren't my own feelings. I know myself. I've had a lot of therapy, but I've always known myself. Going back to Nan, I was like golden tits. And also I was really bullied at school. So I learned really early doors that I can only show up as myself. I mean, I could have tried to fit in, but I was bullied because I was smart in a working class comp, like in Essex. And I wasn't going to pretend to be dumb, because for me to be smart was my way to get out of there.
Mm.
So I didn't ever back down. I was really geeky. I was really swotty. I kept putting my hand up. I kept getting bullied. I was not going to stop, though. That was easier. It was horrible. I would never, ever, ever be in year 7, year 8 again, ever. Flashback. I keep thinking of that 30 Rock episode where Tina Fey is like, oh, I was really bullied. And then it goes back in time and like, she's the arsehole. I sometimes do that. And I was like, yeah, I think I might have been the arsehole.
And my friends... All kids are assholes. Like yeah. At that age, it's such a horrible... Yeah, like you, I would not go back to... Like year 9 for me, I just remember being like this really kind of world of just mad pain and so many hormones and just hate, just a school of hate at that kind of time in life.
And I think I have always been quite an optimistic, joyful, silly, goofy person, which is very free child. It's very like silliness. And I love that about me. And I wasn't going to start to pretend not to be naive. I love musical theatre. Like one of the things I was bullied out is that I went to see like Jason Donovan in Joseph and his amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And I waited outside to get his autograph and got excited. And I was really excited and wanted to share all that with everybody. Like at 12, at a comp, like, no, that was so dweeby. But I didn't care. My friends today who didn't know me at school, one of my really good friends in particular, was like, yeah, I would have bullied you. For sure. But the reason I'm mentioning that is that because it was easier for me because I had loads of love at home. We didn't have the internet, didn't have phones. So that was at school. And then I left and had this secure, safe place that I could go back to and know I was loved and was praised. And we would all go to Joseph. We'd all go and watch Shitty Shitty Bang Bang and Happy Days. Like, so I felt acknowledged. And So I knew who I was, and I've never been ashamed to say who I am. So if other people try to kind of put me in a place as an adult or try to tell me what must be going on for me, no, thank you. No, I know who I am. I've been through it. I'm not going to go. I didn't back down then at the hardest time of my life. I'm not going to.
I'm not going to just take that on. Now.
And also, I'm not sad. Like, I love my life. If I wanted to have a child, I would have had a child. Well, I would have tried to have a child.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't because I have a really lovely relationship. You know, we're really big into games. We play a lot of games together, like loads of board games. If we're like pottering around, we don't know what to do. My husband will like do me a quiz. Just me on my own, and just read me quiz questions. I'm such a geek. Tell you what fun is, guys. Your husband quizzing you. Friday night quiz night.
I mean, but that is fun. It's nice when you find someone and you're like, this is great. I really love doing this. And I think there is a lot of kind of societal pressure to be like, okay, you found great. Now let's blow that shit up and throw a baby in, when actually that's not for everyone. And sometimes you can just have a really nice relationship and choose to not make it, I don't know, make it official, whatever you'd call it, with by bringing a baby in, like having been in a relationship for 7 years and not had kids. I feel like there is something about just being happy in what you're doing and just not feeling this pressure or this like this voice in the back of your head that's like, but we should probably, this is so good, we should probably bring someone else into it. Like, it's really nice to just enjoy it and just enjoy the good things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we really enjoy each other. He's brilliant. He's my favourite, his favourite person. I am, are we allowed to swear?
Yes. Yeah.
A very good friend of mine. I was single for quite a while, and when I met Sam, I settled down with Sam, and he's such a good man, she would just say, you're so fucking lucky. And I'd be like, I know.
Oh.
I've so lucked out. Like, I am aware I am a lot of a woman. I'm a lot. I need a lot of people. And he has never, ever tried to make me small and never challenged the bigness. Just like, yeah, go. It's not even like, oh, he holds me. Like, who will be in lockdown? He was like, you're a lot, like, I think you need to do a FaceTime with some other people. Or, like, there's loads of you. You need lots of containers. I'm doing my best.
Even the fact he said that to you, like, it's amazing. And to not be threatened by that. Do you know what I mean? The fact that openness is there and that he just embraces that is fucking rare. He's a unicorn.
He is. He's absolutely brilliant. Saying that, today he's so happy this morning. He's like jumping around happy. And I'm like, I haven't seen you this happy for ages. He was like, I've got the whole day to myself. So I was like, oh, great.
You're going out. Woo. Like,
bye.
Going out. It's like, I'm going to sit in the garden. I'm going to do some gardening. I might go on my bike. He's like got a day planned. I was like, all right, babes. See you later.
See ya.
He was making ice. He's definitely having cocktails. As I left, he's like, I'm getting on the ice. I'm like, all right, enjoy yourself.
Is your friendship circle in a similar position to you, or is it all sorts like?
Nice mixed bag. Lots have kids, lots don't. So that's really nice. Lots of my friends are still single. I don't know whether that is also, I think kind of as a couple, we do kind of maybe keep the singles, like we are. Well, we're always available. Like,
yeah,
and also it is like
that's a special position to be in, though. Mm-hmm. I think it's quite nice to be in that position that you're there for the adults. Like,
yeah,
going back to the barbecue thing earlier, that is the space to come and let your hair down.
Yeah. So on that, there's a couple of things. I think I definitely have felt in over the course of people having kids and me not having kids, that I am the person people come to slag off their kids. Like, they know I'm a safe space, that I am not going to judge them when they need to say, I don't like my children this week. And I can be like, yeah, sit down, tell me about it. Have some squash, let's chat. But yeah, A really good example is we experienced a bereavement. We lost our best friend last year, and we went to ground. We were like, it happened at the end of September. We were like, I'm going in, and I locked myself away almost 6 months, proper hibernation, lots of soups and stews and fleeces. I have an extensive fleece collection. And I said, kind of as a joke to my therapist and to friends, when the first crocus blooms, that's when I'll return. Then my therapist sent me a picture of a crocus in February in her garden. And I was like, too early. I reject, this feels like a crime. What are you doing? But then I did kind of feel like this awakening, and I was thinking back to where have been my happiest, joyous times. And I had this real deep felt sense, a peak experience, Maslow would call it, that feeling of seeing Basement Jacks at Glastonbury, which must have been maybe 05, 06, I can't remember exactly. And I was like, where are Basement? What are they doing? What are those fellas up to? So I started to Google, and they were doing a couple of festivals, and I was like, can I do a whole, I'm not sure, that's a lot. I've only just come out of the cave. And then I saw that they're playing Dreamland Margate. And then I just put out the call, like, ka-car, ka-car. Who wants to come Basement Jacks Margate? Who's doing it? And then a few people, some people with kids, oh, yeah, actually, my parents can have the kids that weekend, I'll come. Then all of a sudden, all the grown-ups, lots of singles, some with kids, some without kids, just, oh, yeah, that's what we're going to do. I have more time, so I've got us a big Airbnb. I've done a little research for other hotels for some of the other people. That's my service.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Come Basement Jacks Margate.
I'm quite tempted, actually.
Yeah, like, it's only £65 a ticket.
I was just going to look at her and go, shall we go?
Yeah.
I would definitely go.
Yeah, I'm down
absolutely,
for that.
Absolutely.
What do you love about your life? We've probably touched on it a little bit, but it's another question that we like to ask.
And it's a good question. Oh, my God. I make my own schedule. That's really important to me. I predominantly wake up when I want to wake up because I book my clients in for when I need them to be, unless it's like a big thing. But predominantly, I get up when I want. I shape my day. I can do a little stretch in the morning. I can take my time in the shower. Time is a big one for me. Yeah, I think it is that. I can kind of do what I want. Now, that's not saying just because I've got kids. I think that's because that's me without kids. That I kind of know what I like. I know who I am. I don't really get guilty about things. I have a lot of love already in my life. I live a good life. I'm having a nice time.
Awesome. What else is there to say?
I mean, I can't really. It's just great.
What a fantastic position.
This is the thing. On the way here, I was reading about Seth Rogen. I was reading about Chappell Roan and the criticism that Chappell has come under recently.
Huge
criticism.
It wasn't even that bad what she said.
Can I've been a bit under a rock with this. What did she actually say?
She was doing an interview. She kind of came out that she's got a partner currently, and then they were talking about kids, and she says, I don't really want kids. I see my friends who have kids and they look like they're going through hell.
Oh, hang on. Yes.
And then loads of people have come out and been like, oh, well, how can she say that? And they're not. And it's like, well, you don't know. She's talking about her friends. Mm-hmm. And I would like anybody listening to this who has children to just be really, really, really honest with yourself and to just acknowledge the truth of this, that sometimes you having a child has made you feel like you're in hell. Mm-hmm. Like, and you are allowed to feel that. It doesn't mean you're a bad mum. It just means you're a human. And sometimes it's really overwhelming and you're doing a lot. Just because somebody without a child has acknowledged something that is sometimes the truth doesn't mean you can have a go at her about it.
No.
Also, why are we having a go at each other? Come on, ladies. Like, let's just all get along. Or at least respect, we've all got different opinions in the world. We don't all have to like each other. But let's not bring each other down because somebody's having a different lived experience to you. And that's it. Like, phenomenologically, you are who you are because of everything that's gone before. I am who I am because of everything I have been through before. On that journey, I chose to not have children. On your journey, you chose to have children. And that's it. As my young clients say, it's not that deep.
Yes.
in the article I was reading, it was like, oh, you know, when they go through the comments. Or one day he will wake up and be really sad and realise how futile his life is because Seth says he watches movies naked. So Seth would answer your question. I can watch movies naked. I smoke a lot of weed. I, you know, have sex with my wife when I want. One of the comments to this was, you're going to wake up at 50 and realise how shallow your life is. And it's like, who are you to say what is shallow or not shallow about someone's life? We have this sense. I used to have, my purpose used to be, I want a six-figure salary and a corner office and I want to be VP comms of some big TV organisation. That was the goal. And I was stressed out. At one point, I had 20 mouth ulcers because I was so stressed. I was probably quite unhappy, out of awareness, not really fulfilled, but that was the goal. Then when I retrained, my goal now is to have a lovely time. As much as possible, that is my motivation. Am I going to have a lovely time? In how I choose the work, is this work going to fulfill me? Am I going to enjoy this? Not how much does that pay me? Am I going to have a lovely time? What bits are going to be served in that bit of work, in that friendship group, in that event? Do I want to go? If I don't feel like I'm going to have a lovely time or it's going to fulfill me beyond financial gain, it's a no. That's it. And so as to will I wake up when I'm 50 and be like, oh, your shallow life, I'll be like, yeah, but what's been driving me is, am I having a lovely time in this one single life that we're aware of? Well, if that's my goal, if that's my credence, if that's my code, I think I'll be all right.
Yeah.
Because I'll get to 50 and be like, am I still having a lovely time? Or maybe I should do something different now. And also, if the goal is lovely time, then that changes. This morning, my biggest thing was watching my little radishes come up. That's lovely to me. 20 years ago, radishes, I'd be like, what are you talking about? I'm going to see Basement Jacks of Glastonbury. Yeah. Like. But what is lovely time to you?
Mm-hmm.
Watching the rhubarb come up, to be fair.
Like, rhubarb. So
I think we're in a very similar space. Thank you so much.
Oh, Claire,
it's been a really,
you.
Really lovely interview.
Great chat.
It's been wonderful.
Yeah,
thank
much
you very
appreciated.
Much. Yeah.
Wicked having Claire join us in the studio. Such a good energy for our child-free conversations.
Great, just perspectives that we haven't had before.
Absolutely. More of that. See you at Basement Jacks.
So No Kids is created by Joe Ridley and Louise Cotton, with production support from Claire Amasami, sound assistance from Ross Flight and Rich Martin, audio mastering by Edie Martin, and music by Stephen Pack. If you enjoyed this, please share.